Hi, if you record your name and reason for calling, I'll see if this person is available.
Aaron from INS Law in regards to the Scottish Redress Scheme.
Thanks, Aaron. Please stay.
Hello,
am I speaking with Jim?
Okay.
Hi, Jim. My name is Aaron. I'm calling from INS Law, sir, just in regards to the inquiry we've received to the Scottish Redress Scheme.
Yeah.
Yep, okay. Is now a convenient time to talk for yourself?
Yep.
Yep, okay, perfect. What I'm going to do for you, Jim, is I'm just going to go through the application process with you. Okay, so just to start off with gathering details for data protection, can I have your full name, please, sir?
Yeah, it's James McGeachy.
Perfect, okay. And is there any surnames? Any middle name, sorry?
Yeah, Frederick.
Is that Frederick?
Frederick.
Frederick.
No, D-E. Fred. And then Eric with a C-K. Frederick.
Perfect, okay. And first name is James, sorry.
Yep.
Yep, okay. So we've got your email address here as Jim McGeachy. 0802@gmail.com.
Yep, 0802, yep.
0802, sorry, my apologies. Okay, and can I have your date of birth, please?
Yeah, it's 8th of February, 1972.
Perfect, okay. And the current home address you live at, please?
Is 10A Park Road in Saltcoats, and it's Kilo Alpha 21 5 Delta Hotel.
Perfect, I've got that here, thank you. Pop that in there. Okay, perfect. And for added security to your case file, sir, would you like to set up a password with ourselves?
Yeah, if you would make it Rachel Abbey 1, the number 1.
Yep, perfect. Is that Rachel R-A-C-H-E-A-L?
E-L, just E-L.
Yep, so it was Rachel
Abbey, A-B-B-Y.
Yep.
And the number 1.
Number 1, perfect. Okay, just because obviously with there is some law firms out there that will contact you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's actually happened. I'd reported this about over a year ago when I was talking to somebody, and somebody phoned me.
Yeah.
And they said it went to Limson Brown, and I've had no contact whatsoever for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that goes exactly what I was going to say to you. Basically, that company who have got in contact with you before referring you to a law firm, they're what's called a lead generation. So they gather your details online, get some further information from you, and then pass your details on to a law firm. So obviously, yeah, we're setting that password up with ourselves now. We'll get the ball rolling for you. You're directly with a law firm now. We're INS Law.
Through Reform, yeah?
This is through the Scottish Redress Scheme, yeah.
Right, but somebody told me deal with them. They're far better.
Yeah, of course. So basically, this is to add that security to your file. So if anyone tries to ring you, they'd have to give you that password. And if they can't, then you're speaking to the right people.
So
what we'll do moving forward is we'll confirm your address with you, your date of birth with you to complete data protection, and then we'll confirm the password for you.
Right, that's fine. Perfect.
Okay. And just to inform you as well, would you like me to call you Jim or James?
Jim, please.
Jim, okay, so that's not a problem, yeah. Yeah, just to remind you as well that these calls are recorded for training and quality purposes.
Right, no bother at all.
Okay, so moving forward, Jim, the best method to contact for yourself, are we okay to send you an email and a text as well as give you a call?
Yeah, that's fine. Calls I can take sometimes I can't.
Yeah, of course, that's understandable. We'll only ever send you a text message just to notify you that you've missed a call from ourselves, bit of like an automated text message. And the emails we'll send you is just basically, I'm going to send you some documents after this phone call for you to sign, and any other further information, like additional information needed. But everything else is predominantly phone call.
Right, that's fine.
Okay, would you like to add a beneficiary to your application at all, sir?
Just probably my wife, Amanda.
Yep, Amanda. And surname?
McGehee.
McGehee, perfect, okay. What's Amanda's date of birth, please?
73rd, 1975.
Is that the 17th?
The 7th.
7th of the 3rd.
Yep, the 75th.
1975. And Amanda's mobile number, please.
Oh, hold on, I'll need to get it.
Yep, that's no problem.
Is 07939.
00. Yep.
575.
Perfect. Thank you for that. Okay. And is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of, Jim?
No.
No. Okay. Okay, Jim. So I do appreciate that discussing experiences connected to your application can be difficult and upsetting. But please take your time during this call. If you do need a break, further explanation, support, or prefer to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point during this call, okay?
Yep.
And do you suffer from any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities that you need to make me aware of?
No.
No, okay. So the purpose of today's call, Jim, is to explain the Scottish Reader Scheme to you and the options that you have around the scheme. Yep. I'll also explain how INS Law operates on your behalf and discuss our funding and fees. And then what I'll do is I'll gather the initial information to assess on whether we may be able to assist you.
Yep.
Okay, so the Scottish Reader Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 5th of December 2004. It is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us as your law firm to represent you. But the three options that are applicable to yourself is that you can apply directly to the Scottish Reader Scheme yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. And what that is that the Reader Scheme will send you out a pack and you will have to gather your own evidence and present your own case to the Scottish Government. Option two, you can instruct a law firm who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. Under that government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application, regardless of whether you are successful or not with that application. INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government-funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us, you would be choosing a private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you.
Yep.
So that last one is option three. So at this stage, Jim, obviously you have notified me of another law firm, but obviously you've mentioned that there's been no contact with them. So would you say that they are no longer representing you?
I wouldn't know, to be honest with you. I sent an email. It was like a automated thing back, and I've not heard anything since.
I just thought
this is a joke.
Yeah, of course. And when did you send that email, roughly?
Probably 2 months ago.
2 months ago, yeah, no, they should definitely be back in contact with you by then. What obviously the advice from ourselves, what I'd recommend is, obviously you can start this process with us today, but just to know from knowledge, have you signed like agreements with them and stuff?
I don't know. Something came out my door well over a year ago. Somebody came to the house, and that's the only real contact I've had since. I've no idea asking me much about what happened or anything.
Yeah, of course. Okay, well, what you can do with that then is when they do next get in contact with yourself,
last thing I got is they had problems getting rid of my files, and I think they said it was South Ayrshire Council. And I goes like that. I said it was mainly North Ayrshire. I said, I don't know why it would be south here, sir. Although they did put me into a place called Gilsland at first, and then I went through there to Kerlo, I think it was. And then I finally ended up in Redhew.
Right, okay. Well, I'll go through them care settings with you very shortly. But yeah, what you can do with when they do get in contact with yourself is you can cancel their agreements. And the reason for that contact is obviously no contact from them. there's been no provided updates. You've been left in the lurch as to what's going on.
The whole thing. I started working in a children's care home. Myself. Because of things that happened in the past, I didn't know what I was going to do. And then it was my wife that said, well, why do you not do that? Because you always worry about stuff that went on with you.
Yeah.
And when I was in there, it was actually somebody that told me to contact, and it was Reform that they told me to contact. And that's how it all came about, to be honest with you. Because obviously we were talking about the way things are now, and I said it was totally different from when I was back in.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know why somebody would have told you to contact Reform, like Reform the political party.
I don't know. It was just when they were talking, and they goes like that. Said, that's what somebody they knew did. I can't remember exactly what it was. No Reform. Yeah. It was no Reform. Redress.
Ah, it was a Redress. Okay, yeah.
Aye, and obviously, first, I don't know why I was suddenly at this message through on my phone, and that's when it started. But I've no had anything. I've not even had access to my files or anything. And I didn't even know how to go about it, if I was to be truthful.
Okay, I understand that. Well, I'll reiterate to you obviously how we'll work on your behalf and whatnot. Okay, but basically, Jim, our agreements operate on a no win, no fee basis.
Yep.
What that means for yourself is that if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything to us. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything either. If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees would only consist of basic charges based on the time spent and the success fee. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your redress payment. So you'll never pay anything more than the agreed cap of 19.2%.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So it is important that I make it clear that we can't guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of reward that the scheme may award you. But the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I'll explain in greater detail during this call for yourself.
Yep.
So if instructed, we can assist with whether you're eligible to apply to the Redress Scheme. We'll gather and review the evidence and prepare and submit the application on your behalf. And then we have the full correspondence with the Scottish Redress Scheme. So we'll always advise you on any offers made throughout the process, and also explain the statutory waiver to you if an award is offered, whilst also offering any assistance with any reconsideration or review process within the scheme.
Yeah.
Okay, what that waiver is for yourself, Jim, that I just briefly mentioned, is that if a redress offer is made, we'll fully explain the waiver to you before you decide whether to accept anything. But it is important because accepting an award may affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters that are being dealt with. So you'd never be expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences.
Right, that's fine.
Okay. With ourselves, like you do with any other law firm, Jim, you do have a right to cancel. So if you do decide to proceed, you'll have a 14-day cancellation period after signing our agreements. And you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. If you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately whilst your cancellation rights still remain. So would you like that to be the case, Jim, with obviously being delayed quite a bit?
Yeah, that's fine.
So we are able to formally act for you as well, Jim. We will require proof of identity for verification purposes and also to comply with anti-money laundering regulations. Therefore, we will need a copy of photo ID and proof of address data within the last 3 months. You can send these over via email. We do normally have a handy WhatsApp service, but unfortunately, we are having some technical difficulties with that. So you can just send that over by email, which I'll send you an email after our phone call, so you know where to send that to.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Just before I dive into your care settings, I'm just going to get some further information from yourself. Was you known by any other names during your time in care other than James McHeehy?
No.
No, okay. And do you know the address that you lived in prior to being placed into care?
Yes.
Okay, what is that?
It was 102 McKinley Crescent in Irvine. And it was Kilo Alpha 12, 8 Delta Sierra.
Okay, say that postcode again for me.
Kilo Alpha 12,
yep. 8
Delta Sierra.
Yep, I've got that there.
And it was 102 McKinley Crescent.
Okay, perfect. Okay, perfect. And am I able to get the name of the GP surgery that you're currently registered at, please?
Currently with is South Beach Medical Practice in Saltcoats.
Is that on Harbour Street?
Yep.
Okay, and the names of your mother and father, please, if not.
My father was James McGeachy, and my mother was Jean McGeachy. I don't know if it makes a difference. I was adopted as well, so.
Yep, okay. Well, I'll go through them case settings with you and see where you was adopted now. So going to case settings. Okay. Excuse me. So you said that you was did you say the first one was Gail's head?
The first one, I'm sure it was Julesland. I was only in there for a short period of time.
I have dealt with the Esland.
Yep.
I'm just going to try and find that in the system now. Was it the school that you was in, sir?
No, it was a children's home.
Okay.
That one wasn't that bad, to be honest with you.
Okay, did you suffer any abuse in Gearsland?
No.
No, okay. Okay, what I'll do just obviously to note down the care sentence, I've got to attach the care sentence that unfortunately you've suffered the abuse in order for it to populate me a
box. That was read to you.
Okay, let's have a look. Read to Listy School?
Yep.
Yep, okay. And what year would you say that you was placed there?
That was run the Salvation Army. It was mid-1980s, I think.
Okay, so you was around about 13, 14?
Yep.
Okay. And after Red Hugh, did you mention KLO?
No, I was in Kellaw before Red Hugh, but I was only in there I was just put in there short term while I was getting moved to Red Hugh.
Yeah. And did you suffer any abuse in Kellaw?
Mainly with the boys and where you were put, but no really. I knew a lot of people in there, so it wasn't too bad, if I was truthful.
Okay.
There was instance, but it was mainly like silly fights.
Yeah, okay. But obviously, there's four types of abuse that this scheme look at. There's neglect, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and sexual abuse.
When there, it was mainly probably more mental.
In Kerala?
Yeah, it was more the kind of threats. But as I said, I was only in there very, very short term. I was like, I think it was maybe a week or 2 weeks or something I was in there.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I can still put it down, and obviously I can dive into it, obviously the threats that you got and whatnot. It will still...
See, the other place, when we were talking, they said they didn't even have any record of me in Kerala. I said, well, I can assure you I was, because I was in a security unit in Kerala.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, well, with them advising you that, I don't understand why they had to disclose that. Because even if, for whatever reason, there isn't no record, you've still got a story to tell from Kerala, yeah, which overrides that. It's quite a common factor that even, you know, these historic records, not everything's been filed correctly, nothing's been noted correctly, and the scheme are more aware of that.
It was more mental. It was like, if you don't do this, we'll leave you in with these boys, and they'll not lump suit you. It was more the threats.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I've got Red Hugh Listee School. I've got Kerala Secure Unit. Where was you then placed after Red Hugh?
No, I didn't go anywhere after Red Hugh.
Okay, so it's just MC that we're going to be focusing on.
Yep.
Yep, okay, that's absolutely fine.
Red Hugh is the main one. I was in there for a few years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what I'll do first then is I'll just go, I'll start off with Kerala first, and then we'll dive into Red Hugh.
Yep.
Okay, so so just tell me about Kerala and what you faced in that short term.
Kerala, I was in security unit, so it was like, it was more, you were maybe told to do something, like clear up somewhere. And at that time, you're a young boy, you were like that. I said, I never made the mess. And they were like, look, see if you don't can do it. I said, I'll just leave you in with them, and they'll make you do it.
Yeah.
It was the mental abuse, and it was constant. It was, they put you into a room with other boys where they were kind of getting threatened, getting into wee bits of fight. So they were hitting you. You end up fighting back, but some of them were 2 years older than you, 3 years older than you at that time.
Yeah, okay. If I have gone quiet as well, I am just typing up a little bit of a statement for yourself, so I am still here. So you said that you was a clean boy, and at the time the staff members made you clean up, is that correct?
Yep. So they would tell you to do things that, just if some people had smashed something, you're getting told to go clean that up. Sometimes it was like broken cups, broken plates. And it was the threats more than anything else. Then you were maybe put into, see, like there was a big massive gym hall there, so you were put into the gym hall.
Yeah.
With kind of like maybe one member of staff in there who just never bothered, so you're getting, if you're playing football for instance, you're getting kicked, punched. So obviously at that time, see, if you didn't fight back, everybody would start picking on you. So
yeah.
At my age, but you were fighting with people 2 or 3 years older than you, and if you never did anything, see if somebody punched you and you never reacted to it, somebody else would then have a go at you. It was more that kind of type in there. But it wasn't so much a fight, it was kind of mental abuse. You knew that was going to happen to you, so you were just waiting on things like that happening.
Okay.
But to be honest with you, that was a common thing.
Okay, so I've got this right. What I've put here is, when I was placed here, I was around 12 or 13 years old. This was only a short-term placement for me, but during this period, I still suffered mental abuse from the staff members and other residents here. I am going to put physical abuse as well, because obviously that is physical abuse that you've suffered.
Yeah.
Mental and physical. I was a clean boy, and at the time, the staff members would make you clean up. It wasn't asking, it was telling. When somebody had smashed something like a glass or a cup, other people, including myself, would be told to go and clean it up. And if we refused, we'd be threatened by the staff members. I was threatened by the staff members because of refusing to do their work. They'd put me in the gym hall to get smacked and slapped about by the other boys. And if I didn't, fight back, I'd be bullied more, and other people would then try and do it to me.
Yep.
Does that sound accurate and okay?
I would just say it wasn't the staff that was threatening to do it. It was the staff that was threatening to put you in with the boys. So the staff never actually threatened to hit you. They just threatened that we'd put you in with, you know, like the bigger boys. Some of them were nuts.
But they'd still... Okay, so they threatened to put you in with the other boys, yeah?
Yep.
So they were not, you know, in a result of you getting, you know, a form of punishment. That's obviously keeping their hands clean in a way then, really, isn't it?
Yep.
And then talk to me about your time at Red Hugh. What was that like for you?
It was horrendous, to be honest with you. See, some of the times when I was there, I didn't think much of it.
Yeah.
It was away, but obviously, see, starting working on it, things that I know that really upset me, I mean, you don't see them happening now.
Yeah.
And it was, that was a hard part in there. Things new that you look back, see, I've heard the stories, you look back and you start thinking, that probably did happen to me. I mean, I know there's one of the staff is new, they're actually in jail now.
Yeah.
So he got put in jail for sexual abuse in there.
Yeah.
And it's just okay. Some of the things that you think about now and you're like, I never even thought much about it at the time.
Yeah. So what is it that happens?
In there, you would get woke up, like it would be a wet towel, get whipped with wet towels.
You'd be woken up with what, sorry?
Wait, so you get with a wet towel, getting whipped with a towel.
Oh, a wet towel.
Yep. Yeah, so they make into a rat's tail, as they called it. And they would flick you with it.
And would that be flicked at you from a staff member?
That was a staff member. At the time, you think it was all fun and games, but see, looking back now,
it's torture, isn't it? It's like, yeah.
But see, at the time, you never thought about it that much, if I was to be truthful.
Yeah.
It's new, you're away. I mean, it's not something you'd ever dream of nowadays.
Yeah.
There was other things, you would go for a shower, and there was never hot water.
Okay.
It was even silly things like there was a snooker table in there. So you would go in, so you get timed to win for a game of snooker. And then they'd go like, no, we can't be bothered with you the day, you're not going in. And it was like, I've not done anything. Do you know what I mean? Just, certain boys always go in. Other ones were, didn't get in, and it was the teased, and if you went in before them, you came out, and you knew you were going to get a kicking.
Yeah.
There was one time there was a long drive up to it, and me and another boy that was in there, I don't even know what happened at school, but we got sent home from school. Rightly, I mean, we'd done something at school. I can't even remember what it was now. And they gave us a bucket of cold water, a toothbrush, and a bar of soap, and we had to clean the cub all the way up this drive.
Yeah.
Again, they had a smoke room in there for some of the older boys.
Yeah.
So if you answered back or refused to do anything, you get flung in there, and you were just kind of like pushed about and punched. There was one time I got my hair shaved and one of my eyebrows shaved off and my hair shaved with a big razor. So if you moved, you were going to end up cut.
Yeah.
One of the times I still got a scar on my throat just now. I was flung in the smoke room, is what we all called it. It was just a stone room.
Yeah.
And I had a knife held to my throat because I was to go pick mushrooms for all the older boys, sell the magic mushrooms, LSD. So if I didn't want, because they got caught picking them, they get into trouble, so they sent us down to pick them. And staff knew this was going on.
Okay, nice.
You also get made to eat these mushrooms.
Yeah.
This was reported to staff, and they told us to, that exact words were, shut the fuck up, just go on with it. Or, that was the other thing we were told, to play the game. That was another thing we used to get told.
Oh, wow.
Don't be stupid, play the game.
Yeah. And you said that your head was shaved as well. Was this by like the was it either the same group or was it just the other boys in general who were in the smoke room?
The staff would fling you in there knowing what was going to happen. You'd come out with a black eye and a burst nose, and nothing was ever done. Nothing.
Yeah.
There was once I got a spade put across my back. I would say it was probably kind of one of the top boys in there. Because I was pretty good at football, and I'd nutmegged him, and I'd laughed. So
Yeah.
we're walking back, and he put a shovel right across my back. A spade, not a shovel, a spade. Not one thing was done about that. It's all things I forgot about when you start talking, they come to your mind.
Yeah.
And I know my mum phoned in about a couple of things, and she just never got any feedback whatsoever. That's another thing they would stop you doing. See, like, you were to phone your parents, they wouldn't allow you to phone.
Yeah.
Once you were getting weekend visits, so you used to get home for the weekend, and we were refused to go home.
So you was refused home visits as well.
Yep.
And that was for no reason at all.
There was always normally it was like something you've no done, or see, Rod, there were certain jobs that we had to do. So if you turn around and say, "Well, that's not my job because you've done what you were to do," and they say, "Fucking day it, you're not going home this weekend," and then that's
Yeah,
exactly what happened.
it's blackmail, isn't it?
There was a lot of that going on. It was, see, it's a time when they shaved your head, shaved your eyebrow. It was just a laugh, and everybody laughed and carried on about it.
Yeah.
And then you were made to go to school.
So did you have your eyebrow shaved as well, yeah?
Yep, I had my part of my head shaved and my eyebrow shaved. I had to get a crew cut. So I had to end up shaving, getting my head shaved and my eyebrow. Always remember the comment, just shave the other one, it'll look all right.
Yeah. Okay, Jim. Thank you very much for opening up about your time and care with all this. I know, as I said, it can be difficult reliving the memories again.
There was another one. See, there was a guy. He's actually in jail now. Stuart, one of the staff members.
Yeah.
He would take you away for the day, and it was always a teasing carry on because I don't know whether he was gay or what, but it was always used to get teased about that a lot. Was that you going to be seen away with Stuart? And it was, and I know for a fact he's in jail now for stuff that went on in the home at that time.
Yeah. And would Stuart do anything to you?
Sorry?
And did Stuart ever do anything to you?
No, to that extent. It was maybe like a pat on the backside or like things that I never thought about to I get told this information.
Yeah.
Nothing like major, just things that made you feel awkward at the time. It was
Yeah.
mainly the teasing with other boys was the big thing. So if Stuart was taking you somewhere in the van, it was the comments he got. If I was to back, the whole problems were you're just constantly living in fear at times.
Yeah, of course. I can understand that. Doesn't sound like a nice place for you at all, Jim. Okay. Well, I've obviously made notes of everything that you've told me. I wrote up a good enough statement for yourself. There's two types of payments that we can go for here, Jim. There's a fixed payment of £10,000, and that's just a fixed amount of an award, regardless of the severity of the abuse that you've suffered. Or there's an individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed independent panel based on the level of abuse that you have suffered. That independent panel, as I said, that is behind closed doors, so it's a panel of three members, excuse me, a panel of three members. And what they'll do is they'll look at your your story, the support and evidence that we will provide, a witness statement that we'll get a few related dates further down in the process before the final submission. And they'll look at all that and then base it, you know, an award off the level of abuse that you've suffered. From what you've told me with the two care settings, obviously more so the severity in Redview, I am going to put you forward for the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, okay?
Yep.
I do just need to ask you, have you received any relevant payments for compensation relating to the abuse that you've suffered in care?
No, never. I've never even thought about it, to be honest with you, no.
Yeah, okay, that's understandable. And do you have any criminal convictions at all?
No.
No, okay, that's fine.
As I said, it was when we were talking about it. Obviously, I've told my wife some of the stories that happened when we were home. That's how I've ended up, actually. Once, I mean, I used to be a manager of phone retailers and then worked with Arnold Clark, and she told me I should go work the kids with the things that I've done. And I wish I'd done it years ago, but probably couldn't afford it because the wages aren't that great years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, no, of course, you understand. Okay. What I'm gonna do for you, Jim, is I'm gonna send you out. It's gonna be a link by text and the same link you'll receive by email as well. So either or you can open. Basically, what that's gonna contain is a client care letter, which is high and welcome from ourselves. This is what we're gonna do for you. Also attached is a conditional fee agreement, which just breaks down our percentage on what we'll take at the end. Just so you've got that for eyesight. So you know, but again, just reiterating to you, the total capped percentage is 19.2%, so that'll never change. The other attached document is a letter of authority, which basically you're just giving us the right to act on your behalf, so we can gather all the relevant records for your case. Finally, there'll be the part one and part two of your application form that I've filled out for you, with two additional pages of the statements that I've written up. I do obviously just want to give you a little bit of a heads up, Jim. Obviously, we're going to send off this application for you once I receive these documents back. With the time scale of what you told me with the previous law firm, we could potentially just get a few, I wouldn't say knockbacks, but a few question marks in terms of, you know, like, for example, like the Scottish Redress Scheme may say they've already got some sort of application for you. So they might need to contact you when I get in touch with them, just for you to then choose who you'd like to represent.
Oh, well, that's fine, because see, my whole thing is just somebody contact me, just speak to me and let me know what's happening. It's a way, I mean, I was a manager of retail for years and I always kept people up to date with what was happening, even my customers. Even if it was bad news, I always kept people up to date, and I see the fact I'm just no one contacted, that has annoyed me.
Of course. It just leaves you with questions unanswered, isn't it? And that's the worst thing that you can do, is sit there with all these questions and nobody to answer it before. And then obviously in gathering your records as well, if, you know, fingers crossed, hopefully that this other law firm hasn't got this far yet in obtaining these records, but we'll send out that subject access request for you, and see how far we can get.
They're getting my records for South Ayrshire, and I was like, why South Ayrshire? I could never work out why it was South Ayrshire. And the lack of feedback, especially when you've emailed and you've known that I went back.
Yeah.
So I just thought to know something.
Yeah, they don't even deserve your energy, really, do they?
No.
No, of course.
They've not even asked me about the things that happened. I mean, I think the only one thing I ever told them was at the time we used to get, see if we wouldn't, if we were going out with beds at night, we were basically tied in and locked in the rooms.
Yeah.
So, like, so you were tied to a bed at certain times.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, what I'm gonna do for you, Jim, now is I'm gonna send you out our contracts. You can sign this on your phone. It's just an e-signed document. We just require 4 signatures for our documents. When I do is I'll just going to send them to you now, so I know that you've received them. So that should be coming through to you very shortly.
Oh, sorry, you there?
Yeah, yeah.
I was just opening up my emails.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You should receive the a text as well, if you haven't already.
Yeah, I've got that there. It's just
come through. Okay, perfect. What I can do for you, Jim, is I can stay on the phone to you and guide you through it, or I can obviously jump off the phone and let you have a look through.
I'm actually on my phone just now, so I'm working, so a lot of the stuff I'll actually need to do tonight when I get in for work.
Yep, okay, then, perfect. Because
I'm working today, I don't have my driving license or anything like that on me just now either, so they're all in the car.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Obviously, yeah, you can send your license and that through whenever it's convenient for yourself.
Yeah.
I'll send you a separate email with the acceptable forms of ID and proof of address that we accept, and you can just reply back with the attached images. But just very quickly, and then I'll let you go then. The form that I've just sent you, that link, there's a yellow box when you open the page. There's a yellow box at the bottom of the page, which tells you how many fields are required. To make it a little bit easier for yourself, so you're just scrolling through each document and trying to find a signature box. That's your little bit of an indicator or guider to show you where these boxes are. So you click the yellow box, and it'll take you to each signature box once you've applied your signature.
Yeah.
Then that'll then go to all required fields complete. Then you scroll to the very bottom of the page. You click the little tick box at the bottom that says you confirm that your signature is legally binding. You click that, and then it'll illuminate the submit signature box. That'll then be able to be visibly clicked. Click that, and then that'll come back through to myself.
Yeah, no bother at all. That's fantastic.
Not a problem, James. I obviously want to send our apologies for the mishaps that you've had with the previous law firm. I know it's not exactly our fault, but we're now here to assist you and guide you through this process as smoothly and efficiently as we can. If you do have any other questions or queries in the meantime, you're more than welcome to give me a call back on this number. So make sure you save this number as INS Law, and we'll be here to represent you here and on.
Fantastic. Thanks very much.
Not a problem, Jim. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Okay. Before I let you go, do you have any questions at all?
No, that's it. See, just the thing, I take it this can take years, the same as for this.
No, so it is at the minute, I'm going to go with it just take around about 10 to 16 months. That's only because I know that the Scottish Redress Scheme does have a backlog at the minute of cases that they're dealing with. So they are recruiting for further panel members. And have informed us about 3 weeks ago of a backlog that occurred. So the timescale was around about 12 months, but obviously just so you've got a bit of a ballpark figure, it's around about 10 to 16 months.
Right, that's fine.
But we'll always keep you up to date with a panel date. Obviously, once we get further down the line with the final submission, we'll keep you up to date with when that panel date will be, and obviously the conclusion to the case as well.
Right, that's fine. That's superb.
Okay, as I said, if you've got any questions, anything, you're more than welcome to give me a call back. And as I said, my name is Aaron.
Right, thanks very much, Alan. Much appreciated.
Not a problem, Jin. Have a wonderful day. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Yeah, same to yourself. Thank you. Bye bye.
Cheers. Thank you, sir. Bye now.
Bye.